And I've been thinking a lot about the topic of faith. And like faith is such a, you know, faith is a topic which is like easily the milk of God's word, but it's also the meat of God's word. Because our life ought to be living by faith to faith every single day. It doesn't matter if you're newly saved or if you've been a seasoned believer for some 20, 30, 40 years, we still need to operate by faith. And what I picked up here in James 1, look at verse number 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith. The title for our sermon this morning is The Trying of Our Faith. The Trying of Our Faith. Now, verse number 3 is, continued from verse number 2. Have a look at verse number 2 quickly. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so I was thinking about this fact that, you know, we go through many temptations. You know, whether it's temptations that we face where we need to make a decision whether we're going to sin or whether, you know, we're going to give into that temptation and sin against the Lord or whether we're going to live a righteous and holy life and live, you know, walk according to the Spirit. There are those everyday temptations that we face. Temptations also has the idea of trials, difficulties, challenges. And when I talk to the average person, the average family, the average, we've all got trials and difficulties and challenges that we're trying to overcome in our life constantly. Even though, you know, in many ways I look at my life and I feel like I've never experienced any major problems, like major turmoils that other people may face, there's still challenges. There's still problems. Like, you know, I feel like life, you're constantly putting out fires, little fires everywhere. Sometimes the fires are bigger, sometimes they're smaller, but there's always some challenge, some difficulty that we've got to face. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm going through some type of temptation, some type of trial, some type of trying of my faith even this very morning. And sometimes I wonder, yeah, but Lord, you know, I've already gone through these trials. I've already gone through these struggles. Already, you know, with your help, we've already overcome this. We've already learnt the lesson. Because, you know, when you're going through trials and challenges, it's not comfortable, right? You're trying to find solutions and sometimes it's difficult and requires you to step out of your comfort zone. And sometimes it makes you wonder, you know, think of, you know, Lord, what's the answer? What's the solution? I don't know how to get out of this situation. I don't know how to, you know, bring the solution. And Lord, it just seems like you're not helping me sometimes in this. But the Lord always is helping us. He's always guiding us. And when I was thinking about this, I was like, why is it that we never get to a point where, okay, because when I look back at my life, there's been many trials of my faith. Like just planting your life at the church was a big trial, was a big temptation, was a big challenge, right? To bring my family across from, you know, another state, which is not a small family, and making sure, you know, do we have the provisions we need to, you know, make new life possible? And all these things, like just the different thoughts, am I up to the challenge just as a man, as a pastor? I don't know. I mean, these are trials. These are questions that you ask. And you think, well, you know, you pass a test sometimes and you're like, yeah, but Lord, why are you putting me through another test? And then you pass that test and you're like, okay, Lord, but another one. Why can't we? I it's enough. I think we're okay now, Lord. And have you ever wondered that? Why do we? It seems like we sort one issue out. Okay, I can breathe. I can relax. And there's another issue. Right? It's like, well, you know, is there ever a time where we just sort of relax and take it easy in the Christian life? And it's never really like that. You know, if you've lived long enough as a believer, you realize it's never really like that. There's always a trying of our faith, always, whatever it is. And but then I got thinking about it. Of course, I mean, it's logical sense that there should be more trying of our faith. Because when you think about, think about what the major tests, when we think about just our society, our world, the major examination or test that people often talk about every year, at least in the media, is the HSC, Higher School Certificate, and making sure that you get, you know, a sufficient score, whatever they call it. I think it was called the UAI when I was there, or TER, I can't remember. I don't know what it's called anymore. But, you know, it's the idea of, you know, if you get a sufficient score, and it's so important because that's going to allow you to enter into university or certain courses and, you know, whatever it is. And that's what everyone seems to talk about. You know, children that go to high school, year 12, they're often stressed about their HSC scores. And it almost seems like, I remember when I was, you know, a teenager, I remember thinking, oh, man, this is like, you know, you either succeed in life or you fail based on your score. And it's not true whatsoever. But you feel like this is, you know, if I don't do well, yeah, that's it. My life is destroyed. But then you kind of think, okay, you know, that's a big test that people often talk about. But would it be realistic to say, well, There's no need for the HSC because I already passed an English test when I was in the second grade. Now you'd say, hold on, no. You know, just because you passed some English test in the second grade doesn't mean, you know, the HSC is irrelevant or anything like that. Or just because you passed the second grade doesn't mean you can't be tested for the third grade. Or just because you graduated from primary school doesn't mean you should not be tested in high school. Or just because you got tested in high school doesn't mean you don't need to be tested or challenged in tertiary studies or whatever it is, right? I mean, like logically, of course, the more you learn, the more you grow, then you need to be tested and tried whether you've gained those skills, whether you've gained that knowledge. And it really came to help me understand what it means to be trying, you know, the trial of our faith. Why is it that we're constantly being tried? Why are we constantly being tested, Lord? It's because he wants you to grow. He wants you to learn. He wants to make sure that you've learned the lessons, or, you know, use that examination to teach you the lesson in order for you to be someone greater, something more. So you can continue not just being a babe in Christ, but you're growing up to the fullness of the measure of Christ. And this is the whole point of being tested or being challenged. And, you know, the only way that you can overcome a trial or a test is to pass it. Because if you don't pass, you're going to be tested once again on the same issue. Or the other way you get passed, like, you know, you overcome that. Yeah, you pass, and then God will say, okay, you passed the test. You've passed the trial. Now you're ready for a bigger trial. And when you pass that trial, you're ready for the bigger trial. And look, there's always a positive end result to the testing and the trying of our faith. So as I said, the title for the sermon this morning is The Trying of Faith. I want you to understand why you're being tested right now, whatever trial you're going through. Why is it? Seems like, Lord, I learned that lesson 5 years ago. Well, this might be a bigger trial for you. Or maybe you didn't pass the trial 5 years ago, and so you're being tested once again on the same issue. But I want you to notice, and this is always the hardest thing when you're going through difficulties or trials or challenges, is to remind ourselves what it says in verse number 2. So there are many things that we want to learn. There are 4 points that I want to leave with you this morning. And the first point is, in verse number 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, and I think this is one of the hardest things for me anyway. And maybe it's the hardest thing. And yet this is clearly laid out in the scriptures. When we're being challenged, when we feel like our faith is being tested, God says, count it all joy. So rejoice is what God's asking you. You know, do we rejoice? Oh, another trial. Oh, I don't like it. Well, that's actually the wrong approach. The right approach is another trial, another testing. Woohoo! Let's see how I go. Let's see if I can pass a test. You know, if the Lord's given me this trial, he must believe that I'm ready, and with his help, we're going to be able to overcome this trial, this test. I mean, that is how it ought to be, but how many of us are truly like that? Woohoo! Another trial. Bring it on, Lord. Not many of us would take that approach. I don't think that's my first response. I don't think, like, maybe down the track once I, oh, another, oh, yeah, that's right, count it all joy. You know, when I hear a sermon or something like that, I'm reminded by the scriptures. Oh, I'm supposed to be happy about this. Can you keep your finger there in James and come with me to 1 Peter chapter 4? 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, please. Because, you know, when times are going good, and I would argue, if you live in Australia, times are always going good compared to most people. Like, anyway, but, you know, we're selfish people. You know, we've grown up in this Western world that's greatly blessed. And but anyway, when times are going good, that's when it's easy to rejoice. That's when it's easy to have fun in life, to just be happy and be thankful to God for everything that he's given us. And look, even then, like I said, even then, when things are going good, just as, you know, selfish Australians, we often just complain anyway, because Australian down the road has got his life better than us. And yet we don't realize that your life is better than literally billions of people on this earth, just by the nature of living here, okay? And living on the sunny coast, you've got it better than most people just in general Australia. I mean, we are truly blessed here at New Life Baptist Church, but it's still easy to complain. It's easy to whine. And God wants to teach us that even in trials and challenges, when it's not comfortable, that he still wants us to rejoice. You know, God wants us to be people of joy. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, this is a fiery trial. A fiery trial, I guess, is like, this is more than just a regular trial, more than a regular test. This is something that hurts because it's fire. You know, it's pressure. You know, it feels like, you know, your life is being turned upside down. But God is saying, even when you're going through this trial, this fiery trial, he says, don't think it's strange. This is normal, God is telling us, okay? It says in verse number 13, but rejoice. What? Like, this is consistent in the Bible. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, look at this, ye may be glad also, look, with exceeding joy. You see, the trials we go through, the Bible's telling us, it's just a little taste of the sufferings of Christ. And if Christ suffered and is going to be glorified, well, as we suffer in life and we pass the test, we're also going to be glorified at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the greater we've been refined by God, the greater tests and trials we go through in life, the greater our resurrection and glory will be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to take us to heaven. I mean, I don't fully understand that. I don't fully grasp that, but I know it's a blessing. I know it's something that I want. You know, I want God to look down, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want. I want those words to be said of myself and of every member at New Life Baptist Church. And to be glorified by Jesus and say, hey, you did well. Right? Hey, you passed the trials. You didn't give up. You know, you stayed running the race. You kept your eyes on me, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what I would want our Lord God to say about us. But you see, we can rejoice now, but there's going to be exceeding joy at the coming of Christ. And if we don't have the trials, we're not going to be able to experience that exceeding joy. It continues then in verse number 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. If people hate you because you're a Christian, God says, be happy. You ought to be happy about that. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. You know, it gives God glory when you're being hated for the name of Christ. Okay? And so I just want to show you, brethren, is that trials, challenges, temptations, they're there, and our first response should be joy. The first point that I have is, you know, the trying of faith is to help us understand joy. That joy isn't just when things are going well. I mean, I'm glad you have joy when things are going well. But is that the real joy? Is that the true joy? Is that the fullness of joy? The fullness of joy comes even when things aren't going so well. Even when there's some trial before you, like, I don't want to face it. Like, I've already dealt with enough challenges. I don't want to face this one as well. But the right approach, and I think I still have an area to grow in this, and maybe all of us do, is that we ought to respond with joy. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the test. You know, thank you for this trial. And Lord, you're going to refine me. You're going to make something great out of me. I'm going to have greater joy when I succeed at the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. Can you come with me to another passage in Psalm 94? Psalm 94, verse number 17. Psalm 94, verse number 17. The trying of our faith. I don't know. I don't think I've ever said these words to God, but I have thought it in my heart. Lord, enough. You know, I've never said it to God because I want to be careful what I say to God. But even if I said it, I know Jesus Christ, you know, he lived like a man. He had, you know, he was tempted like we were in many points in life. And our Lord God knows our frailties and our weaknesses. But so I was like, Lord, I just, enough, Lord. I've been tested enough. I think I'm okay. I think I'm satisfied where I am. But the Lord, no, I want you to be more. I want you to be something else. I want you to learn. I want you to mature. I want you to grow. Because the truth is, even if we get to the point where we're satisfied where we are, we're still far away from the level of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot to grow. That's going to be for the rest of your life. And that's not going to be accomplished until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in Psalm 94, verse number 17, it says, unless the Lord had been my help, My soul had almost dwelt in silence. You know, the psalmist is saying when he's going through difficulties, if it's not for the Lord, he would have passed away. He would have given up by now. Okay? Then he says, for when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. You know, like I said, the first point is to understand joy. Thy comforts delight my soul. Do you want to delight? But notice that in order for us to delight, in order for us to have that real joy, we need to be comforted by our God. But how can we be comforted by our God if we don't have some comforting to go through? Some challenge, some difficulty where we need a comforter. And I say, Lord, I don't know what the solution is right now. I don't know what you're trying to put me through right now, Lord, but I need your comfort in the midst of this trial. And when the Lord comes and he comforts you, and you know the Lord loves you and he's guiding you and he's leading you, and you know that you don't have the answer, but God has the answer, and you don't know how this is going to turn out good, but God knows how it's going to turn out good, that gives a lot of comfort, delights, and you feel like the Lord is close to me. But we need, the only way we experience that is to be discomforted, right? In order to need the comfort of the Lord, we need to be discomforted, and that comes with the trying of our faith, the challenges, the difficulties that we go through life. And it's going to delight your soul. The joy that the God of the universe cares for me, that he loves me, that he's, you know, utilizing me, that he's using me, that he's guiding me, that he's directing me. He wants me to be something more. He wants me to learn some lesson. He wants me to pass the test so I can be ready for the bigger test to come down the track. First point that I have for you, brethren, on the trying of our faith is to understand joy. And I don't think you fully understand joy until the trials come and you are rejoiced. Like when you're like, Pastor, the trials come and I'm just so happy about it. Then I feel like, okay, you've learned the lesson. Like you learned that one. I'm still trying to learn it. Like I get it. I get the lesson, but I'm still trying to get to the point where when the trial of my faith comes, my first response is, woohoo! Because the Bible is so clear that ought to be the right response, you know, when the trials come, the trying of our faith comes. Come back with me to James. Back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse number 3, please. And I do feel in general I'm a happy person. Like in general. Even though my face, people say think I'm angry. I'm not angry. It's just, I don't know, my face is like that. I'm sorry. I'm actually quite a happy person. Like honestly, I really love my life in general. You know, but again, when the trials come, it's not automatically joy. It's sometimes a bit frustration. Sometimes it's like, Lord, why another one? Why do we need another one right now, Lord? And I need to be reminded, you know, I'm preaching this to myself just as much as I'm preaching it to you. But in James chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So there's the next one, right? It worketh patience. And then verse number 4, why is it so important, verse number 4? But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The way we would say wanting nothing today is like lacking nothing. Being content, being satisfied in the position that we're in today. You know, the world we live in is like constantly throwing down our throats why we should not be content. The whole reason there's advertisements and billboards, you know, and salespeople is to tell us that we're lacking things and you need to purchase this thing and that's going to fulfill your life. You know, and so we constantly have, you know, we live in a society where, you know, you need to have the latest whatever it is. You know, when I look at phones, I feel like they haven't really changed for the last 10 years in general. At least maybe even 15 years, but, you know, advertisement, you know, marketing will tell you, you need the latest phone every single year. Like, that's what's been, you know, pushed down, you know, our minds and our thoughts. And, talk of, you know, there's a lot of talk about the housing market and how it's unaffordable. And it's true. Well, it's true. But the whole idea of the media pumping that is so to make you feel like I need that, I'm lacking that. Why is that? Some people do have and some people don't have. And I, you know, like this world is like just constantly pumping at you that, you know, you're lacking things. And God is reminding us that when he puts us for a trial, it's to work patience. And when we have patience, like we think of patience, okay, I'm patient. I'm not going to get frustrated when something happens. Okay, there's a part of that. But it's to get to the point that you go, with your patience, I'm okay where I am right now. I'm doing okay, right? I have the Lord God. He's all sufficient for me. You know, even if I've lost my material wealth, like Job, even if I've lost family, even if my friends have turned against me, even if the devil has destroyed my physical body, I'm fine. Boy, what a level to get to. I'm not there yet. Are you there? I don't think I'm there yet. I don't think I'd be there. Like, I think if I lost everything like Job lost, I don't know. I don't know because I've not experienced it. But part of me thinks I'm going to be a disaster. Part of me thinks I'm going to be very cast down, and I'm going to be cast down for a long time. And somehow Job is able to go, this is okay. I was born naked. Oh, if I die naked, so be it. It's not like I can take any of this with me to heaven anyway. That's like how Job is. It's amazing. That was a man who had patience. I don't have that level of patience just yet. Maybe that's why I need the trials, right? Maybe that's why you need the trials. Wanting, you know, that you may be perfect and entire, whole. Wanting nothing, lacking nothing. I just did a dictionary definition for the word patient. We know what patience is, but just wanted to get a bit of more of a dictionary definition. It says, the quality of being patient, well, obviously, but the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. So when you're going through provocation, people provoking you, when people are annoying you, when misfortune comes upon you, when you have pains, that you don't turn around and complain. You don't lose your temper. You don't get irritated. That is patience, from the dictionary's definition. And again, is that us? I don't think so. I don't think that's me completely. Maybe part me, partly. Maybe I'm developing all of that, but there's still part of me that, boy, when things don't go according to my plan, I get frustrated. But patience is without the frustration. This is okay. Let's see how the Lord comes through and deals with this. And yet, you know, so many times in my life, I'm like, and you know, because you've gone through this. You go through a situation, okay, how's the Lord going to deal with this? I don't know. And then he does, somehow. Okay, cool. And you feel like, okay, I've learned the lesson. I don't need to go through that again. And then, hold on. Now I've got the next issue. I've got the next trial. Lord, how are you going to come through? I don't know. And then he does come through, and he makes it better than you've thought before. And then you go for another one. It's like, Lord, again, that idea, Lord, enough. And when the trials and the temptations get greater, it doesn't mean you're getting weaker. It's that the Lord is saying to you, you're stronger. You can deal with more. You can deal with greater suffering of Christ than you dealt with before. And so your glory and your rejoicing is going to be even greater at the coming of Jesus Christ. We need to grow as believers. And with growing, there's growing pains. And that's really what the trying of your faith is. It's growing pains. But God is saying you're ready to grow when he puts you through that trial. Don't give up. Because when you give up, you're giving up on God. God's the one that's going to get you through that, right? Don't give up. Because if you give up, that trial's going to come again until you learn. And it's going to come again, the same one, again and again and again until you learn. I saw some, maybe I don't want to learn, Lord, because then the next one's going to be even more difficult. No, but the Lord knows that that's what you can achieve. That's what you can accomplish, you know, and I want patience. Maybe that trial years ago gave you some level of patience, and the next one gives you more patience, to the point where you say, I'm fine. This is all right. Bring it on. And I'm going to rejoice like we saw earlier. But the second point I have is to develop patience. Can you come with me to Psalm 37? Again, keep a finger in James. Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Patience gives us self-control. You know, people always, like, because I fly so often to Sydney, you know, they always have the safety instructions. And the whole point of the safety instructions is that people would not panic on a plane if something happens, something wrong happens. The likelihood of something happening is so insignificant, but they know how much damage panic can cause. You know, like, even if you're not the strongest swimmer, and if you're struggling in, like, in the pool or the ocean, they recommend, hey, just put your hand up, you know, and hopefully, Lord willing, the lifeguard will see you or someone will see you. But, you know, when you start to panic is when you go down faster. And if you're on a plane and people start to panic, then there's going to be more loss of life if a situation develops, because you need to stay cool, calm, and collected, as they say. And that's part of the patience developing that God wants in you, right? When something doesn't go well, God does not want you to panic and give up and it's all lost. No, no, learn and grow and have self-constraint, have some self-control. But in Psalm 37, verse number 7, it's so hard. Bible, like, Psalm is like this all the time. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. God wants us to be patient with him. Yeah, patient with our trial. Okay, Lord, trial, what's the answer? What's the solution? God, I need it. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to rest. The Bible says rest in you. Be patient with you, Lord. Be patient with you. I'm glad my wife is patient with me, because there are projects that I've started, and I won't mention what they are. But there's one thing since Christmas that I've not finished, and my wife leaves me alone. I'm glad not being nagged week in, week out. Like, sometimes we nag God. No, she's patient with me. It'll get done, honey, don't worry. But patience, right? Be rest in the Lord and wait patient for him. Look, fret not thyself. That's like, don't panic, but don't lose control. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Okay, sometimes that might happen. When you've been tried in your faith, you might get that wrath, that anger. Oh, another issue, another struggle. Why? Sorry, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Just rest in God. Say, God, you gave me this trial. You knew. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming before I knew. And Lord, whether you've allowed it, I mean, you've always allowed it, because if it's happening, God's allowed it, right? You've allowed it. Lord, help me to just rest in you. Lord, I'm going to wait patiently. I'm going to go to you, God. You know the answer. You know it's coming. You know the solution. You know when this trial is over. You know when this testing is done. It says in verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's amazing. Like, I know, look, all of us are going to inherit the earth because we're going to rule and reign with Christ. But we also know that in the millennial reign of Christ, there are different positions, different levels of authority. The more we've done for the Lord, the greater our positions and rewards will be during that time. But something that I take away from this, it seems like even being patient and waiting for the Lord elevates our status in the world to come. Because they shall inherit the earth. We'll inherit the earth. You know, the frustrations that happen on this earth that upset us, that get us upset, you know, well, that's all going to go away. We're going to be here inheriting the new heavens and new earth, or the millennial reign of Christ, let's put it that way. And those that wait upon the Lord, we're going to wait for him. You know, patience requires us to wait on the Lord. That means our full dependence is on him. Like, if we're resting in him, just like salvation. I mean, you know you're going to heaven. I'm so at rest about that. I'm never doubting. I'm going to heaven when I die. Why? Because you're a good person? No, because I rest in Jesus. Jesus did all the work. I'm just the same. Same thing. Rest in Jesus. You done it. Jesus, you did all the work. So when I rest on my Lord through the trial that I'm being tested through, he's got to do the work as well. That's what it means to rest on him, to wait on him. And also, patience requires you to faithfully accept that the Lord knows what you need. I know we think we know what we need. Like, okay, I need to pay the bill. Yeah. I need to, whatever. Like, you know, we need to do this. We need to do that. I need to run church services. Need to be there for Blessed Hope sometimes or whatever. Whatever, you know, put your life needs in place and what need to accomplish. But the Lord knows more. Like, if we're resting in Him, we're waiting, okay, Lord, You know. You know the answer. You know the solution. I'm just going to rest. I'm going to take it easy in You, Lord. And I find that, mate, another hard aspect to develop patience in the midst of a trial, because my brain starts to create all these solutions. Here's plan A. Here's plan B. Here's plan C. Here's plan D. Here's plan E. You know, instead of going, all right, here's plan A, rest in the Lord. I'm usually doing it. I'm trying to do God's work when I'm going through the trial. And like, what are we supposed to do though? Like when we say rest, we're not just saying, okay, just don't do anything. I mean, just do what we need to do. Do everyday life that we need to do according to God's word, according to instructions. All right. If there's an area in our life that is not measuring up to that we know that the Lord needs, we'll need to fix that. All right, but you know, we're doing what God wants from us, and the rest of it, God's going to take care of that trial. He's going to let us get through that experience, and He knows the end result of that. So point number two, brevity, is to develop patience. To develop patience, that we can say, it's okay. I'm lacking nothing. I've got everything I need. It's all in the hands of the Lord. If you've got a finger back in James, come back with me to James. James chapter 1 and verse number 5. James 1, verse number 5. You know how I just told you that when I'm going for a trial, I'm thinking of solution A, B, C, D, E. Well, verse number 5 actually has the right solution here. James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That's a promise. Lord, I'm going through trial. I don't know. I'm pretty confident you're all honest people, and when you were teenagers and you went to school, whatever it was, you never cheated on your test. Did anyone cheat on the test ever? Did anyone ever write answers on their arm like I did? Did anyone ever look at their students' work? Oh. When that happens, we're lacking wisdom. So when we lack wisdom, we have the ultimate cheat code. And it's okay. It's a righteous cheating. God, what's the answer? Right? God, what is the answer? And He says here that He giveth to all men liberally. God will give you the answer. And upbraideth not. He's not going to get upset with you because you looked at his examination papers. Like, God wants us to look at His word. What's the answer? Here it is, the answer. It's in my word. Ah. Yeah, I got the answer now. Okay? And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You see, another reason why God gives us these trials, or the trying of our faith, is that we would gain wisdom. That we would not be tossed like the sea. You know, and, you know, the waves are blowing this way, or the wind's blowing that way, the waves are taking me that way. And we just, you know, we just don't know where to stand. It's wisdom. At the end, that's the whole point, right? The whole point of a test, when you're doing an actual test, is to see how much knowledge have you gained. You know, have you maintained the knowledge that you had during your studies or during your whatever, your education? What wisdom do you have at the end of that test? That's the same point. It's like when you get through it, you know, the idea here is that you ought to be a little wiser. I see now. I feel I am a little wiser. I don't think I'm that wise, though. I do think over the years I'm a little wiser than I was when I was 20 years old, a little wiser than when I was 25, a little wiser than when I was 30. A little wiser than I was 35 and 40 and 43 now. Praise God for that. But still, hey, if Lord willing allows me to live 80, I'm going to be much wiser when I'm 80 than I am today. So I still have a lot of wisdom to learn. But that wisdom is not man-made. We saw it. That wisdom, say, God, I need Your wisdom. Lord, I need to cheat on the test. Can You give me the answer? Can You give me the solution? I'll wait on You. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to rest in you. But I know you have the solution for me. The third point, brethren, is to gain wisdom. And if you can, come with me to Acts chapter 7. Come with me to Acts chapter 7. And while you're turning to Acts 7, I'm going to read to you from the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2. You go to Acts 7. Proverbs 2, verse 3. Remember where to pray, where to ask God for wisdom? Well, in Proverbs 2, verse 3, it says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her for as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Wow, find the knowledge of God. But it comes with the fear of the Lord. In verse number 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." For the Lord giveth wisdom. So I'm going through a trial of my faith right now. The Lord's ready to give you wisdom. He wants you to pass the test and be wiser, more knowledgeable, a greater understanding than you had before. I mean, our Lord God is good. He wants to give us his knowledge and wisdom and understanding, the knowledge of God. He layeth up sound wisdom. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. A buckler is like a shield. Wisdom is like a shield. So when you get lies and, you know, brainwashing thrown at you, you know, the greater you grow, the more trying of your faith you've developed, you develop a bit of a shield from all the garbage the world keeps saying to you. Sometimes all the garbage you even hear Christians say, it becomes a bit of a buckler. It's like, oh, I don't need to hear that. It's rubbish. Give me the wisdom of the Lord. A bit wiser, a bit stronger, a bit more ready for the battle. You're there in Acts 7, verse number 9. I want you to think about Joseph here. It says, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him." Could you imagine being a slave? Like, that's a horrible life, being a slave. Or taken to another country, Egypt. And the people that made you a slave were your own brothers that you're supposed to love, your family. Your family betrayed you, sell you to Egypt. Like, what kind of, that's a trial. Have you gone through that, like, kind of trial? I mean, maybe you've experienced rejection from your family. But have they sold you into slavery? I mean, it happens, but that's horrible. Like, Joseph is a real human being. He lived in history. It's not just some story written in a book. He went through this. But the Bible tells us, even though he went through this, but God was with him. That's amazing. So when he's thrown in the pit, God was with him in the pit. When he's taken to the slavers and he's been carried away into Egypt, God's with him on the journey all the way. What a beautiful thing to be saved, like to have our God with us, no matter how bad, how many trials we go through. And in verse number 10, it says, because God was with him, it says, "And delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom." We saw that already, the wisdom. "In the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no substance." So I won't keep reading. We know the story. "But Joseph became second in command over the most powerful nation of the earth." But how? How did he do that? He went through a great trying of his faith. It's sad. But God was with him. It tells me that, hey, when Joseph was able to understand God's with me and he's able to see the hand of God, that Joseph would have been joyful. Joseph would have been patient. Not only, we saw here, Joseph gained wisdom in his trials. Say, what purpose? So you can be the second most powerful man in Egypt, and then when the famine comes and affects your whole family, affects entire peoples and nations, You've got the wisdom, you've prepared, you know what's going through the hard times, and you're able to give a solution to everyone else going through a hard time. How do we apply that today? When you see brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so going for a trial that's similar to yours, you say, brother, I tell you now, God is with you. I had a similar situation, not to boast of myself, but God saw me through. I saw the hand of God. I wanted to give up. I got frustrated, but I've seen God come through, and I know God's going to come through for you as well. Joseph was able to help others because of his trying of his faith. You know, at the end of the day, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to support, build each other up, edify one another. When we see that we're going through difficult, and look, all of us are going through some trying of our faith, all of us. Smaller, larger, you know. And this is where we need to come alongside and pray and encourage and remind each other that God is there. Because sometimes we forget, at least I forget sometimes. Issue, problem came up. Why? Maybe God wasn't there. No, he's always there. He's just giving me that trial to make myself something more, something greater, to learn the wisdom, to learn, to understand joy, to develop patience. If you can come with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And while you're turning to Romans 12, I'm going to quickly read to you from Colossians 1:9. Because as I was preparing this sermon, I think about trying our faith. And I developed this, okay, from what I could see in James, it's to understand joy, to develop patience, to gain wisdom. But then when I was kind of going through the New Testament and trying to see other passages, I realized that formula gets repeated in other passages. So one passage is Colossians 1:9. I'll just read it to you. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy to the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing with the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." Just in that passage there in Colossians 1, you can see that he's praying that the church would have all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that they would be unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Like, all those elements came into play when I was looking at that passage in Colossians 1:9. And so what that tells me is that Colossian church obviously must have been going through some trying of their faith. You're there in Romans 12. Look at Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope. There's the rejoice. Patient in tribulation. There's the patience. Continuing instant in prayer. Whenever when we need knowledge, we need wisdom, we go and seek that from the Lord. We go and pray to our Lord God and ask for his answer, for his solution to our trial and our difficulty. I just started to see, maybe there are other passages. I just, you know, when you start to look at a topic, you start to see different patterns in the Bible that are similar. And so when I looked at James, Colossians, Romans, and maybe other passages, I don't know, you've got this trifecta almost, the joy, the patience, the wisdom, all kind of combined in different passages. And I realize how important the trying of our faith is. Like, it's actually a concept that is going to be found throughout all the Bible. And it's something that we're going to face all our lives. So we need to get used to it. We need to understand that the trying of our faith is going to come. Maybe right now you're coasting along just fine. Maybe right now it's all breezy. It's all cool. No issues, really. I think the trying of your faith is coming sooner than you expect. Because that's what I find. When I'm like, oh, no issues for all. Oh, there, okay, there we go. There's the problem. There's the trying. There's the challenge. Come back with me to James 1. James 1. There's one more point that I want to draw out of this. Back to James 1, verse number 12. James 1, drop down to verse number 12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. There's a blessing. For, this is why. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The fourth point of the trying of our faith is to win the crown of life. Maybe sometimes we fail in the trying of our faith. We give up and we lose and we, you know. Well, God gives you another trial. Then God gives you another trial. Say, why, Lord? So you can win the crown of life. Right? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when the trial comes, thank you, Lord. When the trial comes, I love you, Lord. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to win the crown of life. Look, we know once again, when Christ comes, he wants to reward us. And again, I don't know how to measure all these things up, but some of these rewards, some of these treasures are crowns. And one crown that God wants us to win in life is the crown of life. Look, that is obviously going to be a precious ornament in eternity. You know, if we wear that crown, you know, we went through the trials, we went through the trying of our faith, and we passed. And we passed to the level where we gained, we earned the crown of life. Can I just show you another passage? You know, Revelation 2. Come with me to Revelation 2. Because that crown of life gets brought up twice in the Bible. And the other reference is in Revelation 2, verse number 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 10. It says, fear none of those things. This is, of course, Jesus speaking to a church. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Sometimes God allows the devil to give us hardships. Lord, why the devil? So you can be tried. Thrown into prison for the name of Christ. So you can be tried. So you can go through a testing, a new challenge. It says here, and ye shall have tribulation. Oh, that's troubles. 10 days. And look at this instruction. Be thou faithful unto death. That's amazing. Some believers lose their life, have lost their lives. God says, be faithful. You know what? If you're going to lose your life in a trial, that's your timing. That's God's timing for you. That's it. You know, God's perfect time in your life, it's time for you to pass away. And God says, look, these last 10 days of your life, be faithful. Even if it's in prison. Wow. You know, count it all joy. Sometimes we see the Apostle Paul in prison. We see he's rejoicing. Rejoicing in his bonds, he says. To get to that point, to get to that level in Christianity, wow, I feel like, again, I'm still far off from that. But then he says this at the end of verse number 10, and I will give thee a crown of life. Wow. What trying of your faith to get to that point. I mean, that literally losing your life or being thrown in prison for Christ, for doing nothing wrong, but being a believer, that's a guaranteed crown of life right there. As long as you remain faithful. As long as you remain faithful to the Lord. You know, you don't give up on the Lord. You know, you know it's working patience. You're rejoicing. You're gaining further wisdom from God, even if it's coming to the end of your life. You know, you remain faithful to God in that trial, and he promises you the crown of life. Well, it doesn't look like we need to get to that point where we need to, you know, literally be thrown in prison to gain but the trials that we do have, think about that. Well, God's given me another chance to win the crown of life. What is that crown of life? I'm telling you, if it's the crown of life, it's going to be more valuable than life itself. You know, if God is expecting some to lose their life over it, it must be worth much more than even my own life. Great rewards in heaven. You guys know this passage, Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, God wants in our heart for us to desire the crown of life, a treasure in heaven that no one can ever steal from me, that I'll have for all eternity. How do I get that crown of life? It ought to be a desire of our heart. How do I get it, Lord? Here's how you get it. The trying of your faith. There you go. You know, overcome the temptation. Learn the lessons. Find joy. Have patience. Gain the wisdom. Be faithful. And that crown of life will be rewarded to us when we see Jesus Christ. Thank you for patience, brethren. In summary, just those 4 points. The trying of our faith. Why does God allow us? We don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Being tested is not the nicest feeling. But number one, it's to understand joy. Number two, it's to develop patience. Number three, it's to gain wisdom. And number four, it's to win the crown of life. Okay, let's pray.